What we're going to talk about today is the armor of God. We're going to start with Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Sue's been talking about the armor of God. She's been asking me to speak on the helmet of salvation as one of the items in the armor of God. And I kept saying, okay. And then she wanted to tell me what she was getting. And I said, then you preach what you're getting. But if you ask me to speak, you got to let me give what God's given me. So we're going to read Ephesians chapter 6, but right before we do, let's have a word of prayer, and let's ask God, can I ask a question? Do you, each one of you, want to see what God wants you to see today? Do you? Because I don't have an axe to grind here. I don't have something I'm trying to, you know, manipulate you into. I want to see whatever God has, what God wants to say today. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to see. But that's what I want to submit to. I need Him. I, as Brother Glenn said earlier, I don't like life without Him. I had life for 20 years without Jesus. I met Him when I was 20 years and 9 days old. I met Jesus. And I do not like my life before that at all, because it wasn't life. It was existing. It was painful. I didn't understand people. People hurt me. I got a tender heart, and people walked on me. And the way God designed me, I couldn't quit caring about people, even though they would hurt me. And I did not know how to deal with pain. And then I met Jesus. And then Jesus started teaching me how to live. And how to walk on the water instead of puddling around in it, struggling in the water of life, feeling like you're going to drown all the time, feeling like there's nobody to care for you. Where's the life preserver? And you can't even see a person. All you can see is horizon of water. And you're struggling, and you don't even feel like you know how to swim. And you're wondering where the instructions are. Well, I'm letting you know the instructions are in the Word of God. It is the instruction manual for life. So why don't we do this today? God, today, we're drawing a line. And Lord, we don't want to go back to our way. We want to step into Your way. So we're willing to lay down everything we think we know, everything we've tried to live by up till now, and much of our life has not worked. So we're willing to lay all of that down at Your feet, Jesus, and say, would You sort through it, and any part of it that's true, would You give it back to us? But we're willing to let it all go. We're willing to break agreement with that and learn step by step, point by point, how to walk with You. Jesus, these are my friends. Even if I'm not their friend, they're my friend. And I'm asking that You would open all of our eyes. Help us right now to choose to open our hearts and allow You to come, Holy Surgeon General, Holy Spirit, come and work in our hearts and do surgery and help us by removing things that are not true as we break agreement with them. And then You could put into us truth, that we could live truth, learn to live in the light, walk in truth, walk in peace, walk with You and live like You, Jesus, and be little Christians. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. 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 I'm looking for an amen.
Amen.
Amen. There's got to be one around here somewhere. Amen. Okay. Y'all can do what you want. I'm going to have fun. All right. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. I want you to understand that this armor of God is God Himself. All of these pieces of the armor it's going to talk about is us having God on us. God as our protection. God as our shield. God as our life. God as our breath. God as our food. God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. See, He's on us, so we're in Him. In the Lord. And be strong in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. Has the devil ever deceived you? You ever been tricked? And you thought it was somebody? It wasn't somebody. It was the devil. He just was working through somebody that let, they cooperated with the devil. They let the devil, because probably they're deceived. Now, those of y'all that are yawning, I just want you to know, sleep will cure that. Okay? I just thought I'd let you know. Okay? All right. Verse 12. Are we having fun yet? And you thought it was church. Okay. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, we're not wrestling. You think your problem is that boss. You think your problem is that mate. It's not. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's powers. That's like governments in the spirit realm. Okay? We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay, show me a spirit in this room. Show me. Point it out. Where is it? You can't see it. See, spirits are invisible. But every one of you is a spirit. You're temporarily clothed in a body. You see, you think this is Dana. This isn't Dana. Dana is living inside of this. This is just a temporary body that Dana the Spirit lives in. But there are other spirits that are looking to live, and the only way they can live is through somebody. So what they do is they come and they give you a thought. See that girl over there? She thinks she's something because of what she's wearing. Well, who does she think she is? We ought to just give her the eye, the look. Okay? And then tell your friend, so both of you give her the look. We'll put her in her place. Now, when you have that thought, where'd it come from? It came from the devil. Were you made in the image of God, or did you come from like a monkey and then evolve? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. You came from a monkey? Okay. We're praying for Shelby over here, okay? Because there's a lie she's still believing, okay? And she's bound by it, but it's okay. Here. Jump over here. I got something for you to hang on. Here's a banana. Okay, only kidding. All right. Now, I know, we're just having fun. Okay, are you ready? What? Banana, I see. Okay. Let's go eat, she said. Okay. We wrestle against spirits. And these spirits, they come, I don't know if you know this or not, but the only power, you see, the devil is not God. God created everything, including the devil. But when he created him as Lucifer. If you want to look this up, it's in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. And you could go read those. There's about 15 or so verses in each chapter that talks about how Lucifer used to be the worship leader in heaven. But when everybody was worshiping God, he took his eyes off of God. Here's the clue. He took his eyes off of God and turned around. And when everybody was looking at him, oh, it made him feel good. And guess what? God doesn't allow sin in heaven. Kicked him out. A third of the angels went with him. Those are now Antichrist spirits. They used to be angelic spirits. Now they're demons. The only power they have is what you personally give them. When we were down in Texas starting a church, people were so superstitious down there. They believed in all these things that were not true. So they had pictures of Pancho Villa, and they had little crucifixes, and they had Buddhas, and they had all these things, garlic, and they'd hang them over the door that was supposed to protect them from evil spirits. And we had a job trying to teach them because their whole life they had believed in these things. But they were aware of the spirit realm. You and I are not in America because we're so full of pride. We think it's us. you were made in the image of God. Therefore, you were made perfect. When you have wrong thinking, perverted thoughts, they didn't come from, you know, God didn't create a pervert. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody through choices agreed with these spirits that hate you and they're against God. And so as you agreed with them, when your mom was yelling at you, rah, 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 you could have either humbled yourself and cried, but instead us in America, we all get hard. And then we take on this spirit of hardness and resistance and self-protection. And then we get hard and we either become the ice queen, you know, and act like, I'm cold, you can't hurt me. Or we yell back, bah, 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 bah. Those spirits aren't from God. But those are spirits that we listen to and let live in us. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? I hope you are. I'm just trying to help you. I only had one banana. Okay, here we go. Verse 13. Wherefore, he says, because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, that you may be able to fight off the enemy, and having done all, to stand. I've done everything. There's nothing else I can do. I'm trusting in God. I'm going to stand here. Doesn't matter what I see. Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what I feel. And it doesn't matter what everybody else says. Y'all can all vote on it if you want. But I'm going to stand in the truth. I've done what God told me. God, is there anything else I'm missing? Yeah, I want you to do this. Okay, yeah, I don't want you to do that. Okay, and then you obey. And when you've done what he's told you to do, you've put on God. You've put yourself in God. You've clothed yourself with the truth, the life of God. Now you just stand there. God will be your defense. God will be your life. God will carry you through. I'm sorry, I'm going to get excited here in a minute. Verse 14. He says, stand therefore, having your loins, the main part of you, the central part of you, girt about with truth. That means you and I need to put on truth. Why does he say that? Because there's a lot of places that we have lies inside of us. Because we believed other people that told us things, but it didn't come from the Word. It sounded good. It may have seemed good. There may be been a whole lot of them, hundreds of them, and they all seem to say the same thing. So we just say, oh, they must be right. Just because there's a whole bunch of them don't make them right. A whole bunch of people put in this certain guy into the presidency, they weren't right. We need to pray for that position. We need to respect that position, but we need to admit the truth. There's lies going on. Okay? So look at verse, where were we? 14. Stand therefore, having your loins, the central part of you, clothed with truth. So where do you get your truth from? Well, I feel, well, I think, well, I believe, well, my dad said, well, my mom said, does that make it true? Having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. What is that? That's Christ's righteousness. Harvey, what if I ask you, and I said your name, blank, if you died right now, are you 100% sure you would immediately go to be with God in heaven? Because there's many in this room that can't say that. You hope so. You hope you're going to heaven. You think you're going to heaven. Well, I'm a good person. You're trying to go to heaven. I'm trying to do everything right. You want to go to heaven, but you don't know you're going to heaven. Up until July 1st, 1976, I was 100% sure I wasn't going to heaven because I had no idea of why I should go. And yet I was a good boy, according to my parents, according to others. I was obedient. I was respectful. I took my hat off for ladies. I held doors for ladies. I opened the door. I do that at the bank. I go to hold a door for a lady, and they look at me like I just walked out of a lunatic asylum. And I said, you know, when I was growing up, all the men used to do this. I said, well, of course, a lot of them don't even know they're men anymore. But those of us who do, I don't know why they ever quit doing it. Because I'm just trying to be respectful. I say, yes, ma'am, to people up here. And I do not understand a woman telling me, you make me feel old by saying, yes, ma'am. I said, have you ever felt respected? Because I'm trying to respect you. I meant it as a term of respect. What do you want? I call people young lady, young man all the time. So I called a lady, young lady the other day, and she says, why do you call me that? I said, because I don't want to call you old lady. I said, because you feel like what you think. So if I call you young lady, it's going to help you. She said, it did make me feel better. I said, that's why I do it. You see, we, Lord, help me stay on track. Help me to get on track. Okay, verse, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Christ is my righteousness. Harvey, what if you died right now and stood before God? And he said, why should I let you into heaven? You know what my answer would be? You shouldn't. You ought to send me to hell. If I died right now and stood before God and he said, Harvey, why should I let you into heaven? And I'd say, you shouldn't. You ought to send me to hell. If I get what I deserve, I'm going to hell. But, Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Jesus became my substitute. Father, give me everything Harvey deserves. And Jesus took all my sin, past, present, future. It was all future for Jesus. And my sin killed him. And they buried him. And 3 days later, while his body's laying in the grave, he stood before the Father and said, Father, is my death enough for Harvey? Or is there something else Harvey has to do? And the Father reached over and said, nothing Harvey could do. Picked up the body of Jesus from the grave and said, paid in full. He said, now, Harvey, I want to offer you a gift of eternal life. And the only way to get it is through the blood of Jesus. Did you need Jesus to die on the cross for you? Can you get there some other way? So, you ought to send me to hell. But, Jesus died for me and paid for all my sin. If that's all I have to offer you is Jesus. If Jesus isn't enough, I have nothing else to offer you. Do you understand? So, I have the breastplate of righteousness because it's not me being good. It's the righteousness of Christ because I'm in Christ. Remember? Be strong in the Lord. Put on Christ. If he asks you, why should I let you into heaven? Are you going to say, oh, what about when somebody tells you and you're witnessing to somebody and they say, yeah, but you've lied. What do? You start justifying and arguing and defending? That doesn't help them because now you've just become self-righteous. You're trusted in yourself. Instead, you say, you're absolutely right. I have lied. And Jesus paid for that. And I don't know why he keeps loving me just like I am. But he loves me too much to leave me here. And he just keeps bringing me along. And he never gives up on me. Amen? I'm going to get excited here. Okay. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When Christ comes in you, he becomes your pearl of great price. And now, everywhere you go, you want to tell everybody about him. Because what you're full of is what you're going to talk about. Just what ends up happening. It's the gospel of peace. You've received peace. Now you want to tell everybody about that. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith that Sue's been talking about for several weeks. The shield of faith. Wherewith, or by this, you shall be able to quench or stop all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Sue said, Harvey, I want you to talk about that. I said, okay, I want you to look over in Acts chapter 20, please, in verse 21. Acts 20, verse 21. What is salvation? Is salvation just a prayer? Asking Jesus into your heart? Is that what salvation is? What is salvation? Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, or the people that are not Jews. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Many times when people talk about repentance, they're talking about repent from doing something bad or thinking something bad. What the Bible talks about in repentance is, for salvation, it's do you want God? See, if somebody presents to you Jesus on the cross and you just think Jesus is going to be a good insurance policy, he's going to be your fire protection, keep you out of the fire, that's not salvation. Salvation is repentance toward God. You make a choice. Do I want sin? Do I want my way? Do I want everything to be about me? Do I want to run the world? Do I, pride and anger and I want these things? Or do you want God, because you see these things are against God? They're actually against you. What is it you want in your life? It's a repentance toward God. God, I want you. I don't want these things because they're taking me down. They take away my peace. They take away my joy. They mess up my marriage. Because when it's all about me, by the way, whenever we do marriage counseling with people, one of the things that we teach them is marriage is not 50-50. Anybody in this room that's married think marriage is 50-50? Raise your hand, please. Let me tell you what marriage is. Marriage is 0-100. Expect nothing except to give everything. And anything you get is only a bonus. Because if you're expecting him to pick up those socks and dirty clothes, you are going to be upset. If you're expecting her to not serve you burnt offerings for dinner, I'm sorry, you are going to be upset. Do you understand? You expect to give. See, love gives. If you don't get anything else, get this. Four words, you ready? Love gives, lust takes. I just want to know when you get it so we can move on. Okay, ready? Love gives, lust, strong desire for self, takes. I used to tell the teenagers when I was a youth director, I'd say, girls, if a guy tells you he loves you and then he tries to take from you, he just lied. I say, because there's givers and there's takers. Givers have a heart after God. Takers, their heart is after the devil because all they care about is self. You know, if they're a boy, they think when their dad called them son, they thought the whole world revolved around them. You know, it's not that way. It's not about us. We have a sign up there. Okay, and you can find it other places. See, look on that back wall. It says, it's not about me. It is about Jesus, and he's all about others. I share this with people all the time. J-O-Y. Do you want joy in your life? Is there more than one way to spell it? Can you spell it Y-O-J? Can you spell it Y-J-O? You can only spell it J-O-Y, correct? All right, watch. Jesus first. You want to have joy, right? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Because if you try to spell it Y-Jo, that's you first. Or Yaj, that's still you first. You don't have joy. No wonder you don't have joy. Why is that you don't tell people? They've always got joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. You're going to have a marriage? I'm going to tell you what. It's got to be Jesus first. God created a male and female. We're doing marriage counseling today, by the way. Male and female. God has this sense of humor. He says, y'all come together, now get along together. And you're like, Right? Like, how can you figure what she's thinking? And she's going, what's wrong with him? How can he think that way? So what God says is, when he seeks to get closer to Jesus, puts Jesus first, and then she puts Jesus first. As they get closer to Jesus, the distance between them gets shorter. Everything is so simple with God. We complicate it because we try to do anything but Christ. A, B, C. Anything but Christ. God's way works. Nothing else works in the long run. It doesn't work in the long run. Love is about giving. When God comes to live inside of you, love comes to live inside of you. It's others-minded. Helmet of salvation, Acts 20:21. Repentance toward God. I want God. That doesn't mean I want a fire escape policy so I don't have to worry about going to hell, but now I'm going to go live any way I want because it's still all about me. You think God's tricked by that? Somebody prayed a little prayer and now they're going to go live for themselves and say, but I got this little prayer that I prayed. What it is, I know, I'll get baptized. I'll just go and get in the water, and now I'm going to live any way I want, and everything will be okay because I got in the water. I'm sorry. There's many people that have gotten in the water that end up in hell. Many. Many. Maybe more than end up in heaven. You know why? Because it's about salvation is Jesus. Salvation, Jesus is our Savior. He's the one who saves us or delivers us. We go through life and we've got all this pain, we got all this hurt, we got all these things going on in our life. As we turn to Jesus, He begins to deliver us. He begins to walk us into that way. But there's things, He doesn't just snatch us out. He doesn't do that. He's not like me. Okay? He's real gentle. And what He does is He says, this is the way, walk you in it. But you have to break agreement with this to come into this. You have to let go of this to get a hold of this. You have to forgive to get forgiven. See what I'm saying? It's like it's choosing God in His way. Salvation, repentance toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just saying, I want God, I want the generic God, God bless America. Every time I see that sign, I always say, what is it they want Him to bless? They want Him to bless abortion. They want Him to bless greed. They want Him to bless lies. What is it they're wanting Him to bless? God, we want You to bless us, but we don't want You on our coins anymore. We don't want You in our school anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? Repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus. Putting faith in Jesus Christ. Let me break it down and say it this way. I'll say it a little different. Go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. 1 John is right before the book of Revelation, or almost right before, a couple books away. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. I'm going too fast maybe. 1 John 5:20. Are you there? Right after chapter 4. Okay. All right. And we know that the Son of God has come. Has Jesus come? And hath given us an understanding. What understanding has He given us? That we may know Him that is true. Salvation is to know God, to know Him personally. That's why I ask people, when did you meet Jesus? Tell me about it. It's got to be the best day of your life. For me, it was July 1st, 1976 at 7:55 p.m. on a Thursday. I met Him. Before that, I knew about Him, but it didn't do anything in my life except fill up space of knowledge, you know, where I had to take up brain cells to have knowledge about him. But it didn't change my life in any way, shape, or form. But then I met him, and it was completely different. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. Turn over to John 17, verse 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 17. Now listen to how this verse, I love this verse, it goes, and this is life eternal. Sounds like God's fixing to define eternal life. He says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and that we might know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It is to know God in a personal way. The helmet of salvation. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. Colossians, let's see. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Are you there? Chapter 2, verse 6. We're talking about put on the helmet of salvation. You know why? Because in Proverbs, I believe it's chapter 24, verse 7, it says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Have you ever had, you're all upset, you're thinking the world's over, your life's over, everything's terrible, nothing's going to work out, and then somebody talks to you, and it's like, it turns around, and all of a sudden you got hope and light, and has that ever happened to you? Why? Because you quit believing a lie and started believing a truth. Do you get it? Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How we are supposed to live our everyday is how we get saved. How do we get saved? I'm going to give you a 5-point outline, 3 words each. Are you ready? Here's how we get saved. We realize our condition. What is our condition without Jesus? Death. What else? Sin. What else? Lost. Hopeless. Yep. Okay. Realize your condition. Admit your inability. You can't do anything about it. It's not January 1st comes along and you plan on turning over a new leaf. Man, I turned over so many new leaves I had to rake my backyard. That's not it. By February 1st, I can't even remember what I promised on January 1st, let alone am I doing it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
5-point outline. Realize your condition. Admit your inability. You see, we can't save ourselves. There's nobody, not one, that's going to get to heaven. And God says, why should I let you here? He said, I did it all by myself. Like the Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. God's going to say, oh, I'm so impressed. Come on in. What do you think? Not. Okay. Realize your condition. Admit your inability. Realize God's solution. Do you know what God's solution is? Death. Burial, resurrection. Death, burial, resurrection. Death, burial, resurrection. See, Jesus died. He's the only man ever born who didn't sin. So he didn't deserve to die. So then he said, you know, Father, he says, I feel sorry for that Glenn. Because he's like Harvey. And if I let him go, they're going to end up separated from us forever. And we created them for fellowship. But their sin and stupidity and willfulness and selfishness is getting in the way. So he says, Father, treat me as if I'm Harvey. Treat me as if I'm Glenn. Treat me Give me what they deserve. And the father said, but that didn't kill you. And he says, I know, but I love them that much. Doing what's best for another in the long run, no matter their response. I don't need you. Even to the laying down of your own life. And Jesus laid his life down and says, now. See, so he died in our place and our sin killed him. So when something's dead, what do? You bury it. So they buried him. And he stayed in the ground 3 days just to make sure everybody knew he was dead, just didn't faint. Under the ground. And then 3 days later, he got up from the grave, because you can't keep a good man down, see? And he got up from the grave and said, because the Father raised him from the dead. Father, is my death enough for Glenn and Harvey? Or is there something else they have to do? And Father says, paid in full. You paid their whole debt in full. Your life for theirs. Now I'm going to give you your life back, Jesus. And then Jesus comes and says, I want to give you a gift of eternal life. But the only way to get it is through my blood. You got to admit that your sin killed me. Your sin caused my blood. Your sin, your willfulness, your selfishness, you being in charge, caused my death. Does this make sense? So let me ask you this question. Okay, I'm sorry. Realize your condition. Admit your inability. Realize God's solution. Admit his ability. He got up from the dead. Do you think he could save you? I've had people tell me, I'm too bad. He couldn't save me. Realize his ability. He got up from the dead. There's nothing he couldn't do. And then number five, you know what point five is? Choose to depend. You choose to depend on Jesus. Jesus, I needed you to die for me. I can't go to heaven without you. Jesus, I needed you to die for me. Thank you so much for loving me when I wasn't even caring about you. Thank you so much for coming to me and presenting yourself to me when I was kept putting you at the end of the line because I wanted to go party and do all the other stuff I wanted to do. It was all about me. Please forgive me, Jesus. I need you to save me from the, not just the penalty of my sin that I deserve to go to hell, but I want you to save me from the power of sin in my life that keeps me from walking with you. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. I want to give you my life. Here's my life, Jesus. Teach me, help me to honor you with my life. Five-point outline, Colossians 2:6. The same way we get saved is the same way we're supposed to live. It's depending on Him every day. Let me put it in two words. You ready? Repentance, dependence. Have you sinned today? Do me a favor. If you've sinned today, just raise your hand.
Yeah.
The rest of you are liars. Okay. So I just want you to know you just sinned. I just want you to know you just sinned. Okay. Now watch. What happens when we sin? Let's say we got Jesus living inside of us, but now we sin. What happens? I'm sorry? It's kind of like we kick him out, or we take him for granted, or just kind of push him to the side, take him for granted, like, you know, it's not about him anymore. It's now about us, right? So it's turned into, why Joe? Okay. So we lose our joy. We lose our peace because we don't have fellowship with him. We lose our power or his presence. So you know how God wants us to live every minute? When you realize your sin, we call it keep short accounts. Immediately confess it. Confess means to agree with what God says about it. God, I just judged Glenn. God, I was wrong. Would you forgive me? And Jesus said, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us. He said, it's all forgiven. He said, and now I'm going to cleanse you. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to begin to work in you of why, Harvey, you judged Glenn. What's the root, the seed down inside of you, sin? What's down inside of you of why you judged him? Self-righteousness? Anger? Bitterness? What is it? And God says, I'm going to now cleanse you. I'm going to begin to work to bring that to the surface so I can get you delivered. But what he wants us to do is to repent. To live in repentance. Jesus, I just judged Glenn. Would you forgive me? Yes, I'll forgive you. Jesus, I need you. I can't go forward without you. Because if I take one more step, I'll probably judge somebody else. It's depending on him. Now let's go back to the helmet of salvation for a second. It says, put on the helmet of salvation. Do you know when you met Jesus? Do you know where you were when you met Jesus? Did you meet him? Or do you just know about him, have warm, fuzzy feelings, and trying to follow him? Have you met him? Are you born again? If you're not born again, if you're not 100% sure you know it, Harvey, is that in the Bible that it says you could know? Man, I wish it was. Oh, I remember. There's a verse. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Would you turn there? 1 John 5:13. Are you there? 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may hope you have eternal life. Is that what it says? That you may think that you have eternal life. That you may wish that you have eternal life. That you may try to have eternal life. Let's read it the way the Bible reads it. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. I use the analogy. Pay attention. Do you have clothes on right now? Are you trying to have clothes on? Do you hope you have clothes on? Do you wish you had clothes on? Are you trying to have clothes on? Or do you know you have clothes on? You know you have clothes on because you have them on. If you didn't, I would have already let you know. All right? Because you're barely getting by. Okay, now. What I'm saying to you is, you know that you have eternal life when you have eternal life. Do you know that you have eternal life? See, I love every one of you, but I don't love you as much as God does. God loves every single person in this room, whether you are born again or not. He loves you whether you're obedient or not. There are people, somebody just recently, I can't remember the details, but somebody that my wife talked to or something, anyway, all I remember is this person just met Jesus or whatever, right on their deathbed, right before. I've dealt with people like that, where right before they slipped out into eternity, we were able to introduce them to Jesus. Now, did God get gypped because their whole life they honored the devil? And right as they're about to slip out into eternity, they meet Jesus, and now they're going to go and spend eternity with God? Did God get gypped? Jesus says, you are worth it. See, God loves us so much, He pursues us when we're running from Him. He pursues us when we're unlovely. We could take a snapshot of your life this week at one point, and you'd see what I'm talking about. You know, when you're screaming at somebody, when you're telling them, I own the road, I let you drive on it, why are you doing what you're doing? Like I do sometimes. He loves us when we're unlovely, when we're unlovable, and when we're unloving. He loves us. And because He loves us, He pursues us. And He has a plan for us. We get to enter into the fullness of the blessing that He wants for us of His life when we cooperate, when we obey, when we're only trying to do things our way, but try to get God to come fix certain things, you know, what I call patchwork Jesus, trying to get Jesus to come fix something in my life. My finances aren't going good. I'll go to church. I'll call the church, and you know. It's like patchwork Jesus doesn't work. He's looking for your life. He allows things in your life. Even though He loves you, He allows things because you make the choice. I make the choice. We make the choice. Do you understand? Salvation, the helmet of salvation, is to know that you are saved, to know that you are in God. So when the devil comes along and wants to beat you up, make you think bad of yourself, give up on everybody else, well, I might as well go ahead and do it. Everybody says this. All this stinking stuff that runs through our lives, our minds. When you know you're saved, it changes your whole life. When you know it, there's people that, what I'm asking you is, it's talking about put on the whole armor of God. Do you know that you are born again? Do you know that you are saved? Has there been a time where you met Jesus? You received His life and you gave Him your life. Was there a time that that happened? If not, today you could meet Him. It's not through jumping through hoops, doing things Harvey's way. It's God's way. It's you meeting Jesus. Actually, what it is, it's like a swap meet. You bring God your sin and your messed up life and say, here's all I have to offer you. When I did that, I said, I don't know why you would want me. And He says, I want you. And I gave Him my life, and then He took all of that and said, now, let me work on it. He forgave me. He cleansed me with His blood. He adopted me in His family, called me a little baby Christian. He hugged me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He came to live inside of me as the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, living inside of me. He said, I've got a plan and a purpose, and He began to lay it out in front of me and started walking me into it. And when I fall and I mess up and I rebel and I'm angry and all the other things, as soon as I turn back to Him, He's standing there just like this, saying, I was just waiting right here for you. Because He said, I won't leave you. He said, now, let's do it my way. Did your way work? No. You want to keep doing that? No. He said, Guess what? My way works. What's your way? And then we walk into that. Do you know Jesus? I'm not asking, do you know about Him? Do you know Him? Do you want Him? Do you want His life? His life is a whole different way than what we've lived without Him. His life. I told somebody this week, I said, what is heaven? And they said, no, I said, what is church? And they said, God's house. I said, what is heaven? And they said, God's house. I said, do you think if somebody didn't want to come to church, you think God, which is God's house, do you think God would let them into His house in heaven? It's not about that somebody has to go to church to go to heaven. It's that when Jesus comes inside of you, you want to go to church. I didn't want to go to church before I met Jesus, because I'd already been in church and done everything they had told me to do, been baptized by half a dozen of them. That wasn't it. It was like, I've done all this. But when I met Jesus, I wanted everything that was about Him. I wanted to be around His people and hear His Word and have His Spirit flowing and have His joy and His peace. And my way hadn't worked, so I wanted to find out what His way was, because I only did one thing His way, and it was such a tremendous change. I said, imagine what else could be different if I did it His way. Does this make sense to anybody? Jesus, we started this message off by drawing a line and saying, I don't want my way anymore, I want Your way. I'm tired of my life, I want Your life. And Jesus, as we talk today about the helmet of salvation and putting that on and knowing that we're saved, knowing that we're on our way to heaven, knowing You personally, having met You, Lord, I'm just going to ask this, and I'm asking that You would help each person to be honest before You and with themselves today. With every eye closed, I'm asking, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? I know Jesus. I know I'm going to heaven. Amen. I know Jesus. I met Him. I could take you back to the time or the place. I know when I met Him. Now, can I ask this? I want those of you who know Him to be praying. God, there's those in this room that don't know You. And I'm asking that You would open their eyes and open their hearts. Because I would like them to know You as I've gotten to know You. I like them to know You as much as You want them to know You. I want them to enter into the fullness of Your plan. I want them to have a life of forgiveness and peace and joy in Your presence. I would like to spend eternity with them. And Jesus, I want You to work in my heart of anything that You're wanting me to see or understand, that You want me today to see and understand concerning this helmet of salvation and my walk with You and my knowing about You. Now, I'm asking another question. If you don't know Him, I don't know Jesus. I know about Him. I want to go to heaven, but I want God in my life, but I don't know Him right now. But I want Him in my life. I don't know Him, but I want to know Him. I want Jesus in my life. I want that helmet of salvation. I want to know Him and know that I'm going to heaven. Know that I have eternal life. Right now, I'm going to ask You, Father, to work in the hearts and the lives of each person here. You're doing something in these lives. I thank You for the people as they've been honest before You, with themselves and before Me. I appreciate more than anything, I think, honesty. And I just am so thankful for the humility and the honesty. Now today, Lord, I'm asking You to work in each heart and help each person to realize what it is You want them to do from this moment forward. God's dealing with you.